Support for Iditapod, a production of Alaska Public Media, comes from MVFCU. Experience the MVFCU way.
Welcome to the Iditapod, a podcast about what else the Iditarod. And today, Ryan Reddington has won the 2023 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race, the 51st running of the last great race. This isn't the last Iditapod, however. I'm your host, Casey Grove, and the Iditapod is a production of Alaska Public Media and KNOM. At the start of the show there, that's what it sounded like in Nome when the 40-year-old Reddington and his team of six dogs cruised down Front Street about 12:15 p.m. today, it's Tuesday by the way, to claim his first Iditarod championship in 16 tries. Reddington ran behind the sled as he entered the finish chute.
He is running. He's off the sled now. He's not even on the sled. He's running behind his dogs, pumping his fists. You see the green and pink booties, Mr. Ryan Reddington in light green, the classic bib number 5 color. And here he is with six dogs on the line. He's made it, the first Iditarod win for Ryan Reddington.
KNOM's Davis Hovey there with the live call. Before we park this dog team, here's a word from the folks who help us pay for this coverage.
Hi there, I'm Holly from the marketing team here at Alaska Public Media. For more Iditarod coverage, visit alaskapublic.org/Iditarod. And hey, while you're there, consider making a donation to keep journalism strong at Alaska Public Media. Member support allows us to create our podcasts for you, like the Iditapod. Thanks for listening.
So Ryan Reddington's official race time was 8 days, 21 hours, 12 minutes, and 58 seconds. I'm told that's the 8th fastest time in Iditarod history, which includes two shortened race routes, one of those being on the shorter pandemic-altered southern route in 2021. Reddington's finish today is the 2nd fastest time on the full southern route. Passing under the famed Burled Arch and crossing the finish line at the front of the team were Sven and Ghost. More about them coming up. They're the obvious picks for dogs of the day. And if you check out ReddingtonMushing.com, you can see their lineage. Reddington himself has some deep mushing roots, and this Iditarod win is the first for his family. His grandfather, Joe Reddington Sr., of course, is one of the founders of the Iditarod. His father, Ramey, has raced it a dozen times. Both of his brothers, Ray and Robert, have competed in the Iditarod. And Ryan is one of six Reddingtons to finish the race. Reddington is a father of three and splits his time between Wisconsin and Kinnick near Wasilla, north of Anchorage, where he grew up mushing and playing basketball. Before today, his highest Iditarod finish was 7th in 2021. For more about Ryan Reddington's victory, we're joined now by Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan, who was in the finish chute and later at a press conference with Reddington. Lex, first, can you describe the scene for us when Ryan Reddington's team crossed the finish line?
Yeah, there was a pretty good crowd out there on Front Street. I think it being midday, nice and sunny, that really helped bring some people out. And Ryan definitely had fans just cheering for him. He soaked it up when he was coming in, running down the final stretch, waving at the crowd. After the gear check and after his win was officially certified, the first question from Iditarod insiders Greg Heister, the sort of MC of the moment, was about a fortune cookie from before the race even started.
You showed me a fortune from a fortune cookie in Anchorage at the banquet. Tell me what that fortune said.
Your number 5 will be your lucky number for the week. And we drew bib 5.
And then he went and drew bib number 5.
Yeah, I thought about that every day, every run along the way.
And then Heister asked about the significance of Ryan being the first Reddington to win the race. And here's what Ryan had to say about that.
It means everything to bring that trophy home. And yeah, it's been a goal of mine since a very small child to win the Iditarod. And I can't believe it. It finally happened. And it took a lot of work. Took a lot of patience, but and we failed quite a few times, you know, but we kept our head up high and stuck with the dream.
In his 16 races, Ryan has scratched 6 times. He talked a little bit more about his family's determination.
Yeah, it's been a very dogged life for all of us, and it is very something that we all work towards every day. No days off. We think about winning the Iditarod, and I learned a lot from both my brothers, and so I want to thank them too for the encouragement and all the advice, and even throughout this race, you know, I call home and talk to both my brothers, tell them that things are going pretty good, and I'm just being patient, and when we get close to the end of the Yukon, we're going to start making our move, and that's what we did.
Ryan, in general, is a pretty quiet guy, but you could really feel his excitement at the finish.
Yeah, definitely. And I imagine his family was pretty excited. Who from the Reddington family was actually there?
Oh, man, they were so excited. I talked to his mom, who had flown up recently, his niece and his nephew, and his father, Ramey, has previously raced in the Iditarod. I talked to his mom, Barb, in the finish shoot.
I feel good, but like anyone, I've just been on pins and needles and nervous, just nervous energy and just great. Feel good.
And needless to say, she says she hadn't slept too well and says she was up every few minutes checking the GPS tracker, making sure Ryan's race was on track.
Yeah, like a lot of us this morning. And Reddington definitely held off his competition. It looked like 2019 champ Pete Kaiser and Richie Deal were right there with him at one point, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, Reddington was near the front of the pack from the beginning, but midway through the race, as teams arrived on the Yukon River, he was behind Brent Sass, the reigning champion from last year, and Jesse Holmes. But then midway through the Yukon River, Sass scratched, citing a bad cold and pain from 3 cracked teeth. And Holmes' team also faltered later on the Yukon. And that gave Reddington an opening, and him and his dog seized it. They put in monster runs in the last 300 miles of the race. He pulled ahead of Kaiser and Richie Deal and left White Mountain more than 4 hours ahead of them with just 77 miles to Nome. Here's more from Reddington in the finish shoot.
Yeah, well, I've been seeing him a lot throughout the race. And it's they're great competitors and got great dog teams. And I sure had a lot of fun with them out on the trail. I had to make my move out of Elam, that long run over to White Mountain, because I knew Pete, that I thought that was one of my only chances to beat him. I knew he had a lot of speed left in his team, although we were outrunning him, still staying our lead. We needed to make a big move, and both those guys are amazing dog drivers, and I was just surprised to keep staying in front of them, you know, and that was pretty awesome.
So last year, we were all holding our breath when Brent Sass stopped, having crashed and lost the trail in those final miles to the finish. Did Ryan Reddington have trouble too?
Yeah, it sounded like Reddington faced some pretty stiff headwinds going out of White Mountain. On the tracker, he appeared to be moving just 2 miles per hour at some points, which is basically walking speed. It got particularly bad in Topcock Hills in a section known as the Blowhole. Here's what he had to say about the run at a press conference after the festivities at the finish line.
When we took off from White Mountain, it was starting to the wind was starting to blow. And then once we got up by Topcock, it started getting windier. And when we got in the Blowhole, there was many times where all I could see was the wheel dogs. It was marker to marker. Sometimes I'd have to stop, put the snow hook in, and walk away from the team in every direction looking for a trail marker. It was crazy. But with that big lead that we had, I was patient and I didn't get excited. I didn't worry about speed. And I talked to the dogs, told them they were doing good. I was trying to tell them that way they'd bark, and that way I could hear them to know where they were, you know, when I was walking back.
Okay, well, Ryan Reddington won the race. He made it to that press conference that always happens after the first place finisher comes in. What does he win for all of this?
Well, for one, Reddington was presented at the finish line with an oversized novelty check for $51,000. That amount could change depending on how many teams finish this year's race. And to top it off, he gets a trophy with the bust of Joe Reddington, his grandpa, and one of the race founders.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. His own grandfather basically is the trophy. As for the purse breakdown for the top 20 mushers, I asked the Iditarod, and they say that's unknown and will remain unknown. Like you said, until the last musher crosses the finish line, that's because after the top 20 are awarded, the customary $1,049 payment will be awarded to each of the remaining 2023 finishers. The prize purse breakdown will be announced via social media, according to the Iditarod, and so we'll know more coming up soon. Lex, what did the dogs win?
It's hard to say if they know what they just accomplished, but I'm sure the dogs will win plenty of snacks out in the dog yard. The team was actually whisked away shortly after Reddington's finish, so we didn't get to see what snacks they got, but he did ask the handler to get them some food. I'm sure he sensed that they were tired. Of course, the dogs Reddington picked for his golden harness winners, that was Ghost and Sven, were presented with wreaths of golden roses.
Yes, the golden rose wreaths. Well, I guess that brings us to our dogs of the day then.
Yeah, and for today we've got two, which were Reddington's two leaders coming into the finish, Ghost and Sven. So Sven is a four-year-old male, a team dog. That means that normally Sven runs just in the middle of the team. He's run the Iditarod before, and he's named after Sven from Frozen. That's one of the reindeers in the movie, the animated movie. He didn't run that much of the race in the lead, but in the end, Reddington said he was a big asset in those final tough miles. The real star for most of the race was Ghost, who Reddington says ran virtually the entire race in lead. She's a female, about 6 years old, and a leader in multiple Iditarods. Reddington's website describes her as a sweet girl with a bit of an attitude and small of stature. Both Sven and Ghost are sort of dark brown with some lighter coloration on their chest, and if I may say, they're both pretty cute, but in the finish, they definitely looked pretty tired.
Yeah, I always feel like those dogs look like they're tired but accomplished, or, you know, sort of like proud of themselves. Definitely cute. And like you said, Ghost, small in stature, and I think ReddingtonMushing.com describes her as big in heart. So, Lex, I consider you to have a big heart. Before we let you go, any last words?
No, well, it feels like I've sort of accomplished a feat in finishing up this reporting on the last day. I guess I have a little bit more to go, but I feel a little bit of what the dogs felt. Maybe just a fraction, but still, I think I sense a little bit of it.
Yeah. I think we could all relate. It's kind of like we're all in a race together. So thanks for being here. That was Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan from Nome. We'll have more to say in tomorrow's episode about the rest of the teams finishing the Iditarod behind Ryan Reddington. But like Lex noted, Bethel's Pete Kaiser closed that gap and finished in second place about an hour and 20 minutes after Reddington. Richie Deal from Antioch was about an hour behind Kaiser and Nome in third. Matt Hall, who's originally from Eagle and I think still mushes out of Two Rivers near Fairbanks, he's going to grab fourth, and he's in his final miles heading into Nome as I'm recording this. Fourth place will be his best Iditarod finish in five races. He's, of course, a former 1,000-mile Yukon Quest champion. Kelly Maxner and Jesse Holmes are in fifth and sixth currently, although separated by only about a mile according to the race's GPS tracker, so that could still change. Matt Fahler is running in seventh. Millie Porcild in eighth. Looks like she'll be the top woman finisher this year. And very close behind her right now is Eddie Burke Jr., still the top rookie in ninth. His fellow rookie Hunter Keefe is at the moment still back in White Mountain waiting for his departure time there. Our guy Alaska Public Media's Ben Matheson spent the night and the day in White Mountain talking to some of those mid to back of the pack mushers, and hopefully tomorrow we'll hear more from him about them. So many questions. And that brings us to today's listener question.
Hi, Lex, Ben, and Casey. My name is Beth, and I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, from Columbia, Missouri. My question is about old friends on the trail. Since many mushers use teams from other kennels or are former handlers for other kennels, do dogs ever recognize their old human friends on the trail or at checkpoints? Thank you.
Because we had a listener ask us if you or other people run into dogs that you've lent out like on the trail at checkpoints, do they recognize you?
The dogs? Oh yeah, they totally recognize you.
And what do they do?
Well, they get excited to see me. I don't know about other people. Depends on your relationship with the dog. Well, Eddie's got this one red dog for me. And, you know, you would think by our relationship that we don't like each other. because he's such a weirdo and I've worked so hard with this dog and he's still just weird, but he really loves me. But I had to go, oh, red dog. And I had to talk to him like, red dog. And then he gets, oh. And so like, I kind of get tired of having to put that show on all the time. So I was like, Eddie, me and red dog, we're not getting along right now. He's just being difficult. You want to take him? And he was short a dog, so he took him. And I was like, you just got to go, oh, red dog.
You just got to say it like that, huh?
Yeah, or I don't know. You just got to like coddle him and like, oh, he's okay. Otherwise, he's just like high-wired. Like, you mistreat him or something, and I never mistreat him. He's just like a shy dog, you know?
And his name is Red Dog?
Yeah, Red Dog. He's a big red dog like Clifford.
That was Jesse Holmes talking to Lex, answering Beth's question. So thanks to Beth for the question and Jesse for the answer. Kind of loved that little piece of audio. This is normally when I'd be asking for more questions, but we're getting close to the end of the I Did a Pod trail. Well, I guess we can give it another shot. If you have a question or even just a general comment about the Iditarod or the I Did a Pod, record yourself asking it on your smartphone's voice memo app. Email that to iditarod@alaskapublic.org and we'll try to get an answer for you. But we're running out of runway here to land this thing. We'll be back with another full episode of the I Did a Pod tomorrow to wrap things up. As always, you can find all of our coverage at alaskapublic.org/iditarod, including stories, photos, photos of dogs, stories about dogs. Our theme music is not about dogs, but it's by the band Sassafras. Thanks to our I Did a Pod reporters Lex Trinan and Ben Matheson for pulling hard out there. And thanks to Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon for editorial support. I'm your host, Casey Grove. Thanks to you for listening, and until next time, happy trails.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, what did I miss, and what are your final thoughts as we start to close out Iditarod 2023?
I really don't have many thoughts right now. I'm trying to figure out how to tie my shoes, so.
Thanks, Richie.
Yeah, thank you.